Radio Krishna Centrale presents the Srimad Bhagavatam by Krishna Devayapayan Vyasa with original Sanskrit verse, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a Radio Krishna Centrale program by Revati Rupeshwari Devidasi and the Adunandana Das. Copyright BBTI, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust International, all rights reserved. For any information, please visit radiokrishna.com. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 20.
Rigyajo sama tarvakya vidash chatvar udhrataha itihasa puranangcha panchamo veda uchate.
Translation: The four divisions of the original sources of knowledge, the Vedas, were made separately, but the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Puranas are called the fifth Veda. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 21.
Tatra Rigveda Dhara Pailaha Samago Jaimini Kavihi Vaishampayana Ivaiko Nishnato Yajushamuta.
Translation: After the Vedas were divided into four divisions, Pailarishi became the professor of the Rigveda, Jaimini, the professor of the Samaveda, and Vaishampayana alone became glorified by the Ayurveda. Purport: The different Vedas were entrusted to different learned scholars for development in various ways. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 22.
Atharvangira samasid sumanturu daruno munih itihasa purananang pita meru maharishana.
Translation: The Sumantu Muni Angira, who was very devotedly engaged, was entrusted with the Atharva Veda, and my father Romaharshana was entrusted with the Puranas and historical record. Purport: In the Shruti mantras, also it is stated that Angira Muni, who strictly followed the rigid principles of the Atharva Vedas, was the leader of the followers of the Atharva Vedas. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 23.
Ta itarishayo vedang swang swang yasanna nekadha shishyai prashishyasta chishyair vedas te sakhino bhavan.
Translation: All these learned scholars, in their turn, rendered their entrusted Vedas unto their many disciples, grand disciples, and great grand disciples. And thus, the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being. Purport: The original source of knowledge is the Vedas. There are no branches of knowledge, either mundane or transcendental, which do not belong to the original text of the Vedas. They have simply been developed into different branches. They were originally rendered by great, respectable, and learned professors. In other words, the Vedic knowledge, broken into different branches by different disciplic successions, has been distributed all over the world. No one, therefore, can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 24.
Ta eva veda durmedhair dharyante purushairyatha evang chakara bhagavan vyasa kripanavatsala.
Translation. Thus, the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they might be assimilated by less intellectual men. Purport. The Veda is one, and the reasons for its divisions in many parts are explained herewith. The seed of all knowledge, or the Veda, is not a subject matter which can easily be understood by any ordinary man. There is a stricture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahmana. This stricture has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. A class of men who claim Brahminical qualification simply by their birthright in the family of a Brahmana claim that the study of the Vedas is a monopoly of the Brahmana caste only. Another section of the people take this as an injustice to members of other castes who do not happen to take birth in a Brahmana family. But both of them are misguided. The Vedas are subjects which had to be explained even to Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. Persons who are in the modes of passion and ignorance are unable to understand the subject matter of the Vedas. The ultimate goal of Vedic knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Satya Yuga, everyone was situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually, the mode of goodness declined during the Treta and Dvapara Yugas, and the general mass of people became corrupt. In the present age, the mode of goodness is almost nil. And so for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is explained in the next shloka as follows. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 25.
Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunang Trayina Shruti Gochara Karma Shreyasi Mudhanang Shreya Ivam Bhavediha Iti Bharata Makhyanang Kripaya Munina Kritam.
Translation. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this world enable man to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus, he compiled the great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born. Purport. The friends of the twice born families are those who are born in families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, or the spiritually cultured families, but who themselves are not equal to their forefathers. Such descendants are not recognized as such for want of purificatory achievements. The purificatory activities begin even before the birth of a child, and the seed-giving reformatory process is called Gabardhan Samskara. One who has not undergone such a Gabardhan Samskara, or spiritual family planning, is not accepted as being of an actual twice-born family. The Gabardhan Samskara is followed by other purificatory processes, out of which the sacred thread ceremony is one. This is performed at the time of spiritual initiation. After this particular samskara, one is rightly called twice born. One birth is calculated during the seed-giving samskara, and the second birth is calculated at the time of spiritual initiation. One who has been able to undergo such important samskaras can be called a bona fide twice born. If the father and the mother do not undertake the process of spiritual family planning and simply beget children out of passion only, their children are called Dvija Bandhus. These Dvija Bandhus are certainly not as intelligent as the children of the regular twice-born families. The Dvija Bandhus are classified with the Shudras and the woman class, who are by nature less intelligent. The Shudras and the woman class do not have to undergo any samskara save and accept the ceremony of marriage. The less intelligent classes of men, namely women, Shudras, and unqualified sons of the higher castes, are devoid of necessary qualifications to understand the purpose of the transcendental Vedas. For them, the Mahabharata was prepared. The purpose of the Mahabharata is to administer the purpose of the Vedas, and therefore, within this Mahabharata, the summary Veda of Bhagavad Gita is placed. The less intelligent are more interested in stories than in philosophy, and therefore, the philosophy of the Vedas in the form of the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord Sri Krishna. Vyasadeva and Lord Krishna are both on the transcendental plane, and therefore they collaborated in doing good to the fallen souls of this age. The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. It is the first book of spiritual values, as the Upanishads are. The Vedanta philosophy is the subject matter for study by the spiritual graduates. Only the post-graduate spiritual student can enter into the spiritual or devotional service of the Lord. It is a great science, and the great professor is the Lord Himself in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And persons who are empowered by Him can initiate others in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 26.
Ivam pravrittasya sada bhutanam shreya sidvijaha sarvatmakena piyada natushyad dhridayangatata.
Translation. O twice-born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied, although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people. Purport. Sri Vyasadeva was not satisfied with himself, although he had prepared literatures of Vedic value for the all-around welfare of the general mass of people. It was expected that he would be satisfied by all such activities, but ultimately he was not satisfied. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 27.
Nati prasidad dhridaya sarasvatya stathe suchau vitarkayan viviktas thaidang chovacha dharmavit.
Translation. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself, Purport. The sage began to search out the cause of not being satisfied at heart. Perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. This satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Texts 28 and 29.
Dhritavratena himaya chandangshi guravognayaha manita nirvyalikena grihitam chanu shasanam bharatavyapadeshena yamnayartascha pradarshitaha drishyate yatra dharma adi stri shudra dibhirapyuta.
Translation. I have, under strict disciplinary vows, unpretentiously worship the Vedas, the spiritual master, and the altar of sacrifice. I have also abided by the rulings and have shown the import of disciplic succession through the explanation of the Mahabharata, by which even women, Shudras and others, friends of the twice-born, can see the path of religion. Purport. No one can understand the import of the Vedas without having undergone a strict disciplinary vow and disciplic succession. The Vedas, spiritual masters, and sacrificial fire must be worshipped by the desiring candidate. All these intricacies of Vedic knowledge are systematically presented in the Mahabharata for the understanding of the woman class, the laborer class, and the unqualified members of Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya families. In his age, the Mahabharata is more essential than the original Vedas. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 30.
Tathapi batame daihyo yatma chaivatmana vibhu asampanna ivabhati brahma varchasya satamaha.
Translation. I'm feeling incomplete, though I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas. Purport. Undoubtedly, Srila Vyasadeva was complete in all the details of Vedic achievements. Purification of the living being submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas. But the ultimate achievement is different. Unless it is attained, the living being, even though fully equipped, cannot be situated in the transcendentally normal stage. Srila Vyasadeva appeared to have lost the clue and therefore felt dissatisfaction. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 31.
Kingva Bhagavata Dharma Naprayena Nirupitaha Priya Paramahansanang Taiva Yachutta Priyaha.
Translation. This may be because I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. Purport. The dissatisfaction which was being felt by Srila Vyasadeva is expressed herein in his own words. This was felt for the normal condition of the living being in the devotional service of the Lord. Unless one is fixed in the normal condition of service, neither the Lord nor the living being can become fully satisfied. This defect was felt by him when Narada Muni, his spiritual master, reached him. It is described as follows. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 32.
Tasya evam kilamatmanam manyamanasya khidyatah krishnasya naradobhyagad ashramam prag udahratam.
Translation. As mentioned before, Narada reached the cottage of Sri Dvaipayan Vyasa on the banks of the Sarasvati just as Vyasadeva was regretting his defects. Purport. The vacuum felt by Vyasadeva was not due to his lack of knowledge. Bhagavad Dharma is purely devotional service of the Lord to which the monist has no access. The monist is not counted amongst the Paramahansas, the most perfect of the renounced order of life. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of the transcendental activities of the Personality of Godhead. Although Vyasadeva was an empowered divinity, he still felt dissatisfaction because in none of his works were the transcendental activities of the Lord properly explained. The inspiration was infused by Sri Krishna directly in the heart of Vyasadeva, and thus he felt the vacuum as explained above. It is definitely expressed herewith that without the transcendental loving service of the Lord, everything is void. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, everything is tangible without any separate attempt at fruitive work or empiric philosophical speculation. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 33.
Tamabhijñāya sahasā pratyuthāya gathāngamunihi pūjāyām āsavidhivān Naradang Surapujitam.
Translation. At the auspicious arrival of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadev got up respectfully and worshipped him, giving him veneration equal to that given to Brahmaji, the creator. Purport. Vidhi means Brahma, the first created living being. He is the original student as well as professor of the Vedas. He learned it from Sri Krishna and taught Narada first. So Narada is the second Acharya in the line of spiritual disciplic succession. He is the representative of Brahma and therefore he is respected exactly like Brahma, the father of all Vedas, regulations. Similarly, all other successive disciples in the chain are also equally respected as representatives of the original spiritual master. Thus, end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada. Chapter 5. Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. Verse 1.
Suta uvacha atatang sukhamasina upasinang brihacharavaha divarishi praha viprarishin vina pani smayanniva.
Translation. Sutta Goswami said, thus the sage amongst the gods, Narada, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the Rishi amongst the Brahmanas, Vedavyasa. Purport. Narada was smiling because he well knew the great sage Vedavyasa and the cause of his disappointment. As he will explain gradually, Vyasadeva's disappointment was due to insufficiency in presenting the science of devotional service. Narada knew the defect, and it was confirmed by position of Vyasa. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 2.
Narada uvacha, Parasharya Mahabhaga, Bhavata Kachidatmana, Paritushyati Sharira, Atma Manasa Ivava.
Translation. Addressing Vyasadev, the son of Parashara, Narada inquired, "Are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of a self-realization?" Purport. This was a hint by Narada to Vyasadev regarding the cause of his despondency. Vyasadev, as the descendant of Parashara, a greatly powerful sage, had the privilege of having a great parentage, which should not have given Vyasadev cause for despondency. Being a great son of a great father, he should not have identified the self with the body or the mind. Ordinary man with a poor fund of knowledge can identify the body as self or the mind as self, but Vyasadev should not have done so. One cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in the self-realization, which is transcendental to material body and mind. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 3.
Jigyasi tang susampannam apite mahat adbhutam kritavan bharatang yastvang sarvartha paribringhitam.
Translation. Your inquiries were full, and your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. Purport. The despondency of Vyasadev was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 4.
Jigyasitam madhitam cha brahma yat tat sanatram.
Translation. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? Purport. The Vedanta Sutra, or Brahma Sutra, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity, and the methods are scholarly. So there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadev. So why should he lament? Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 5.
Vyasa uvacha, astyeva me sarvamidam tvayoktam tathapi natma paritushyate me. Tanamuram avyaktamagadha bodhang prichamahi tvatma bhavatma bhutam.
Translation. Sri Vyasadev said, "All you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge due to your being the offspring of one, Brahma, who is self-born without mundane father and mother. Purport. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying the body or the mind with the self. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind, and that is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected, even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in materialistic knowledge. It is good, therefore, to approach a personality like Narada to solve the root cause of all despondencies. Why Narada should be approached is explained below. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 6.
Savai bhavan veda samasta guhyam upasito yat purusha purana paravaresho manasaiva vishvam srijatyavatya tirgunaira sangha.
Translation. My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the Creator and Destroyer of material world and the Maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Purport. A person who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord is the emblem of all knowledge. Such a devotee of the Lord, in full perfection of devotional service, is also perfect by the qualification of the personality of Godhead. As such, the eightfold perfections of mystic power, Asta Siddhi, constitute very little of his godly opulence. A devotee like Narada can act wonderfully by his spiritual perfection, which every individual is trying to attain. Srila Narada is a 100% perfect living being, although not equal to the personality of Godhead. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 7.
Tavanga pariyatan arka iva trilokim antascharo vayurivatma sakshi paravare brahmani dharmato vratai snatasyame nyunamalang vichakshva.
Translation. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds, and like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive Super Soul. Please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. Purport. Transcendental realization, pious activities, worshipping the deities, charity, mercifulness, non-violence, and studying the scriptures under strict disciplinary regulations are always helpful. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 8.
Shri Narad Uvacha Bhavata Nuditta Prayang Yasho Bhagavato Malam Yenaiva Saunatushyeta Manyeta Darshanankhilam.
Translation. Shri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Purport. The eternal relation of an individual soul with the Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead, is constitutionally one of being the eternal servitor of the eternal Master. The Lord has expended Himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them, and this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. Such a scholar as Vyasadev has completed many expansions of the Vedic literatures, ending with the Vedanta philosophy, but none of them have been written directly glorifying the Personality of Godhead. Dry philosophical speculations, even on the transcendental subject of the Absolute, have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. The Personality of Godhead is the last word in transcendental realization. The Absolute realized as impersonal Brahman or localized Super Soul, Paramatma, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the Supreme Personal Realization of His glories. The compiler of the Vedanta Darshana is Vyasadev himself. Yet, he is troubled, although he is the altar. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta, which is not explained directly by Vyasadev, the altar? Herein arises the necessity of explaining Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam by the self-same author. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 9.
Yatha dharmadayash charatha munivaryanu kirtitaha natatha vasudevasya Mahima Yanuvaranitaha.
Translation. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudev. Purport. The prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. He has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord Shri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Shri Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well this difference. And still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. From this, it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, etc., one is engaged in pure devotional service. This is called the stage of self-realization, or the Brahmabhuta stage. After attainment of this Brahmabhuta stage, one is satisfied. But satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the instruction of the personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion is that in order to maintain the status quo of the Brahma-Bhuta stage, is also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he, Vyasadeva, should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 10.
Nayadvachas chitrapadang harerisho jagat pavitrang pragranita karhichit tadvaya sangthiritamo shanti manasana yatrahangsa niramantyu shikshayaha.
Translation. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Purport. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather, because of their different mental attitudes. The fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and woman, and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literatures for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures, which attract men of the crows categories, are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet, with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures in the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being, and thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are called also manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense satisfaction or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers, and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement for sense pleasure are all dulls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhar, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahansas who have grasped the essence of human activities. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 11.
Tadvāg visarago janatāgha viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadhavatyapi nāmānyanantasya yashonkitāni yat śrinvanti gāyanti krinanti sādhava.
Translation. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are truly honest. Purport. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife, even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson, even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like the Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field. Yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of Kuero, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of Kuero on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and respiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But they are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors, who may be foreigners, and yet, without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or Kuero. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literatures. Yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. the people in general want to read. That is a natural instinct. But because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures, which are catering poison to society, will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 12.
Naishkaram yamapyat chutta bhava varijitang na shobhati jnana malang niranjanam kuta puna shashvat abhadram ishvare na charpitang karma yadapyakaranam.
Translation. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible, God. What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature if they are not utilized for devotional service of the Lord? Purport. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and the speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When a speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such a speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work, in which almost all people in general are engaged, is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus, when it is engaged in the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. You have listened to the Srimad Bhagavatam by Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasa, with original Sanskrit verse, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a Radio Krishna Centrale program by Revati Rupeshwari Devidasi and the Adunandana Das. Copyright BBTI, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust International, all rights reserved. For any information, please visit radiokrishna.com.